Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Download Required, the official comic book podcast of the Canton Repository. I'm Cliff Hickman, and today we're here with Joe Scott.
How are we doing today?
Back inside Carnation City Comics, where do you want to make the announcement right off the top here? We have a...
Kind of a slight problem today. Our comics have not come in. They're not coming in until tomorrow. And I don't think this is a diamond problem. I think they just got held up in wherever they ship out of from New York.
Yeah,
we're running a day behind, folks, but don't worry, the comics will be here tomorrow.
So yeah, it's just a slight delay.
Just a slight delay. No biggie. I was able to get my Incredibles toys though, so that's kind of cool.
Those are here, and they are really cool.
Yeah, it's an 11-inch Mr. Incredible and Jack-Jack figure, and they're like fully posable, and they actually got cloth suits, and they're actually really really cool.
They are, and they're here, and you can come and take a look at those while you wait for your books, or just come in tomorrow and get both.
I'll get both, exactly. Yeah. So we should have everything up and running in no time tomorrow. So, but that being said,
it's been a busy week, Joe.
It always is.
We had the news break just before we went on the air. Disney, it looks like, has, I wouldn't say done deal, has acquired Fox, but they've upped the offer, and most people are saying it would be very, very difficult for Comcast to match what Disney has done.
Which is exactly what I had said from the beginning. Yeah. I mean, Disney's the type of corporation, the type of company, that if they want something, they're going to get it. It doesn't matter. You can try to up the offer or try to counter-offer them as much as you want, and they're like, dude, you realize we've just been pitching chump change right now. You know, I mean, it's like no one can compete with Disney. I'm sorry. I just don't think it can happen.
Yeah, there was some speculation that perhaps someone inside Fox, they say it's structured in a very clever way to kind of make it as attractive as possible. Mm-hmm. To Fox, it's worth more. It's got more options. Very boring stuff that we're not going to completely get into.
But it doesn't surprise me at all.
No.
It makes perfect sense.
No, but the end result is it's looking more and more likely that the X-Men and Fantastic Four and all associated properties come home.
Are going to be going to Disney, yes, which is going to be great because we were just sitting here talking before the show. Just imagine the possibilities of stuff we're going to get. I really do think that I'm hoping. You know, Disney doing what they're doing, they clearly know to let the right people, you know, at the helm. To keep the right people at the helm to do these stories and do these movies, so you know you're going to get exactly what you want, exactly what we've been waiting for. So, you know, I mean, a Fantastic Four, which is going to be,
I think, Marvel.
It's Marvel's first family, of course. They're going to. I see that one being the first one they rock out, and like we discussed, it better be John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, because I would love to see that and them two actually as, because he was supposed to play Captain America. Originally,
he was on the list.
Yeah. So, and this would be a better, if it would be an even better character for him, especially with Emily Blunt. I mean, they did great in that movie,
A Quiet Place.
Yeah, they did a fantastic. And it was kind of rumored. We kind of theorized that maybe that was the test to see how they could work together fighting aliens and such. So now what we gotta do is just put them in suits and. There you go. You get to see it done by Marvel's take. So
yeah, I think that one, that seems, the tone of the movies Marvel does, I think the Fantastic Four fits very well with what they're doing now.
Right.
And with what they'll be able to do in the future.
And then, of course, with that will come, you know, X-Men. We're going to get X-Men in there, too. And I think they've got some
rehab work because they've kind of self-inflicted, driven them into the ground.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you can thank Fox for that.
Yeah. Well, that, too. But it's like the comics. The Marvel hasn't helped that, where it's like, yeah, we're going to just do everything we can.
No, but here's the thing. If time has taught us anything about Marvel, it's... Their comics can suck all they want. It's not going to stop people.
We'll get more on that later.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get more on that later. That's kind of a foreshadowing. But their comics can suck all they want. It's not going to stop people from going and seeing those movies.
Wolverine, whether it's Hugh Jackman or not, that'll still be a big deal. Just seeing that character added to, say, the Avengers as an Avenger.
Well, wasn't you telling me that Chris Evans had said at a panel that he had talked to
Hugh Jackman? One of them, I can't remember. One of them had hinted that they had spoken to him, and that's all they would say.
And that's all they would say.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know.
About Disney acquiring Fox. So, yes.
But that deal's going to take a long time to close. It's going to. You wonder how old he's going to be and if he's even going to want it.
Well, like I said, I still think you could probably get him in as an old man Logan. You could still kind of do that if you wanted to. He'll be that age. But even he was quoted saying that he would play Wolverine, again, only if it was part of the Avengers cinematic universe. So, and that's an actual quote. I heard that one myself. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, times change. And like you and
maybe
I discussed.
Maybe a few years away.
He'll miss the character. He always said he loved Wolverine.
Yeah.
And so I have a theory that after a while of not being Wolverine, he's going to miss it. And he's going to want to come back.
And
I don't think it's
going to
be a money thing. I really don't think it'll be a money thing. I mean, but even.
Oh, he'll get paid, but it won't be a money thing.
Oh, of course. But I don't think it'll be a money thing to him. It'll be kind of a. If he does do it, he's going to do it because he loves the character.
That's a whole new world.
Right, precisely. So, and so that'll be interesting to see. But, and then of course you'll have Deadpool. And I think, you and I are discussing, and once this happens, this would be great to see Deadpool just showing up in all the movies now.
It's
he will.
Almost it's like Stanley.
Right, yeah,
exactly.
Just kind of like Stanley. He'll have like a little cameo here and there. If it's a PG-13 movie, clearly
he can
PG-13 it up a little bit. And if it's a rated R movie, which, like I said, I know a lot of people were all worried that, you know, because it's being bought by Disney, that it won't be any rated R Deadpool. But you guys got to remember,
there will be.
Yeah. They still got Touchstone, and Touchstone Pictures are rated R. So they have no problem doing rated R movies.
Especially one that's making money hand over fist.
Absolutely.
You'd be out of your mind.
Yeah, I told. Did we discuss it? I went and seen the second one.
I have not seen that yet.
Okay,
so I
honestly thought it was better than the first one.
That doesn't surprise.
Did a really, really great job. And then, so it's like I said, you're going to get a lot. I think we're going to see a lot of interesting combos and things like that. And yeah, I guess Deadpool showing up. I can even see him showing up in the Disney animated movie.
And the rest of the X-Men.
Just, you know what I mean? And then the rest of the X-Men can be completely recasted. Not that I have any problem with the cast that they have now.
No, it's just, I think that
they're going to redo it.
Yeah, they probably should.
Well, here's your exclusive download required. Theory. You've stepped into the brains of Cliff Hickman and Joe Scott. So now you've gone down. You've already started down that rabbit hole. We're going to bring you in a little bit more. See, here's our theory. What's going to happen?
We did this like 20 minutes over lunch.
Right. Exactly. So we're thinking. Yeah, this was our discussion.
If the deal closes in time,
What's going to happen is they're going to get the Infinity Stone, or they're going to undo what Thanos did in Avengers. Basically, but when that happens,
it's going to give
birth to a whole new kind of Inhumans, and which they're going to be later called mutants. And so, and that's how we think that if they do this in time, the undoing of what Thanos just did in Infinity War is going to be the result of mutants, which it makes perfect sense.
That's what I think.
And it's a fantastic. And then why would they not do that?
And then you'd have Thanos say, "Look, I told you.
I warned you."
Yeah.
Yep. And at the end
now
of it,
it's worse than
now.
Ever.
It's going to be worse than before because now you're going to have
metahumans, everywhere.
But of course, this is going to launch right into the whole X-Men: the good mutants, bad mutants, whatever. And it's going to give a whole new. And honestly, it's going to just open that door. Open those floodgates wide open.
Oh, yeah, then creatively you can do whatever you
anything
want.
Anything you wanted, yes. Precisely. So, and you're going to have, and it is, if they can do this, if they can secure it in enough time, that's what we think is going to happen. Where you're going to see the Avengers are going to undo what they did in the end of Infinity War, but by doing so, they are going to open up. Very similar to how you just got
this is if we were in charge.
If we were in charge, this is how we would do it, yeah. It's kind of like how, and if you guys have been keeping up with
not that it's actually going to happen.
No.
But it's this is what we're...
Like I said.
This is how we would do it.
Right. If you guys have been keeping up with post-Metal DC Universe, that's exactly what happened after Metal. It's completely opened up to a whole new...
They broke the source wall.
Right, exactly. So there's
and now aliens are...
Right. Right.
Old ancient forces can now get into our universe, and they are getting
in. So,
in
a way, they're going to undo, they're going to fix what they did in Avengers Infinity War, it's going to open up, it's going to have a great cost. Yeah. Well, kind of, because like I said, you're going to get good mutants, too. You are going to have your X-Men, but you're also going to have your Magnetos and the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, which I really hope Disney actually does that right. I'd love to see that actually done right.
How about Doctor Doom done right for one? I mean, he's a threat not only to the Fantastic, but the whole Marvel,
universe. Exactly. He's supposed to be a Thanos type bad.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that would be amazing.
So if you're looking for like a, you know, whatever the next series of, if you're looking for an end boss, as they call Thanos, Doctor Doom could be your end.
Could be your
next one.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I'm really hoping, and there's something we discussed at lunch. I'm hoping, and Disney, if you're listening, you need to do this for us, for the fans. This is one thing that I ask. that you make it so that Reed Richards helps Professor Xavier design the suits for the X-Men, because that was actually in Giant Size X-Men number one. Was it number one? They brought in. It was the first one where Wolverine Colossus.
Yeah, that was Giant Size.
And when after Professor Xavier had went and gathered all the new X-Men to save the old ones, they said, "Where'd you get these suits?" And he said, "Dr. Reed Richards helped me to design these so that they would molecularly bond."
So Sunfire doesn't melt a suit.
Right, right. So I'm really hoping, Disney, if you're listening and you do this right, that's definitely something the fans are going to want to see. So just take a little note.
That's why Iceman's icicle suit never fell,
So, and that'll be, like I said, the possibilities are going to be endless when this happens. And I think... What I also was, like we were discussing earlier, Cliff, I think it's very, very significant to the fact that I think Disney needed to do this to keep this fire going. Because for someone like myself... I love these comic book movies. I loved what they've done from the very beginning, from the first Iron Man, but even I was starting to get burnt out on them. You know, after Infinity War, like I've said before, after this Infinity War stuff is done... I probably would have been like, I'll be excited, maybe, maybe not, I don't know. But doing this ignites a whole new fire in me to want to see what they're going to do with Fantastic Four and do with X-Men and how they're going to bring
them into
the universe.
There's literally nothing bigger they can do.
I think it was very, very important that Disney actually acquired this. So, and I think they realized that because if they want to keep this train rolling, they're going to need to keep...
They need that ammo because if you don't have that, what really can you bring in?
People are just, it's going to be like, it's going to unfortunately be like the Star Wars movies. People are just going to get sick of them. And I fear that I don't want to see that happen to these
It's like you're
movies.
Down to like Nova and Quasar. You know, you're going to be really...
I mean, who else you got that hasn't been already taken? So
it's like you'd be really struggling hard to find it. This opens up. I mean, you think of, not only X, you think of the solo movies you could do with the X-Men.
Precisely. I mean, you run these exactly. The first set of X-Men movies will be just to see which characters
which
test
connect
better. And let's see exactly which ones can span out on their own. You know what I mean? I still think, and I'm surprised that they haven't been working on this. I know it's difficult for them to do, but they do definitely need to touch base and try to find some way of bringing, like, Daredevil and Punisher from the Netflix series
into these
cinematic, you know, because my wife and I have been watching Punisher, and it's fantastic.
They're shooting season two now.
Yeah, it's an absolute great series. And, I mean, you could see him showing up, especially in a rated R.
Well, that's
movie
what you
now,
think.
You'd
know? Almost think him and Deadpool kind of.
Him and Deadpool would probably be a good fit.
You know,
and maybe
whatever
Logan,
Wolverine.
Whatever Wolverine, or whatever Wolverine they wanted at the time.
You could almost have like a rated R mini thing away from everyone else.
Absolutely, you could. So now I know I've read.
And then there's other characters you could fit. Like Moon Knight's a really dark character, I think, that you could fit.
Who actually has a very surprisingly has a popular following here, at least from my story.
They've been rumored to do
a TV
show.
There's a couple
of
people who have that on pull list, and they say it's a great series. I think you're one of them.
Yeah, I do like that character. He's very interesting in that he is mentally ill. He's got three personality and a fourth that's dominant that's walking around, but he's always got like three voices in his head at any given time, telling him to do different things, pulling him to and fro. One of them's an ancient Egyptian god that resurrects him that kind of always wants him to kill, and then the other ones are kind of chirping like, "Oh yeah, you should." No, you. So it's got, there's all these
interesting.
Yeah,
it is a very interesting concept.
So you have a character, it's very different. And that's why I say he'd probably fit better in a rated R universe
Absolutely. At the very least, a Netflix series of his own.
In Netflix, he'd be a really good
Because, like, your Netflix series, people are pretty much, I think with a Netflix series, people are accepting the fact that this is not going to be your family, necessarily a family comic book movie show or concept. So, yes, to bring these guys into the fold, you're probably going to need to have a rated R movie, which, like you had said, if they were to acquire, or once they do actually acquire Fox, they're going to have to start, doing that, especially with characters like Deadpool. And so, I mean, so yes, like I said, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's very, very promising. The possibilities of creativity are just through the sky's the limit.
Yeah, I see them making a lot of money back on that if they do it properly.
Right. Well, they might as well just take my money already because I'm already.
Well, then you
if
think
they actually
some
pull
of,
this off, then yeah, I will be. I'll be
you
there
think
front
of
center.
Some of the other stuff they acquire too. You're talking Aliens and Predator.
Yeah. Oh, that's
which
true.
Is,
yeah, they'll
I
be
mean,
getting those.
The monsters. Could, you could. Not to say they would cross over.
How cool would it be? Yeah. The first Fantastic Four movie is actually the alien.
It's
alien.
Xenomorphs instead of... Well, I was thinking like the X-Men had the Brood. The knockoff
X-Men
aliens.
Versus alien. That would be
awesome. You can almost just like, why use the Brood? You can use the actual thing.
I'm telling you, Cliff, we need to be in Hollywood writing this stuff.
That would be...
We could give the people what they want.
I mean, the Brood basically was the alien. It's like, we can't use aliens.
And so we're just going to make our own. Exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right.
They kind of look the same. It's like, you just...
They were actually... I'll never forget, one of the first comics I ever picked up was the X-Men Ghost Rider crossover, where he was infected by the Brood.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was one of the things that Jim Lee had done. He had done... I think he was part of that little four. Actually, I have... the four-issue set that story was told. So, yeah, but then I always did like the Brood, actually. I always found them to be
a fascinating concept.
And you're right, they're completely off of Alien. They were completely off of it. So, and that's true. We could do that. Yeah,
Maybe we get good Aliens movies, is what I'm saying. Jiminy Christmas. I can't say the words I want to say about that last one. I had to bite your tongue a lot on this show. I had to bite my tongue there. I almost said a couple things about you had the flute scene, which was just...
I haven't seen the latest
Alien
one,
Covenant.
No, I have not seen any of the newest ones. It's been a while that I've seen...
Prometheus was tolerable with problems. The last one, though, oh, man.
But it's been a while for me. I have to actually pull out the originals and watch this. I haven't seen those.
Yeah, it's like I want to almost pretend anything beyond the first two don't exist.
And who knows? Disney might do that. I think they're doing with the, we were talking earlier over lunch also about movies coming up. They do the same. They're doing the same thing with that Halloween movie that's coming out. It's basically, it takes place right after the first 1978 Halloween.
It basically deletes
all the rest of them from canon, which, as I understand from real Halloween fans, no one minds that.
I was kind of irritated at Ridley Scott because originally, instead of Covenant and Prometheus, Neil Blomkamp at one point had Sigourney Weaver had said she was never coming back.
Right.
He worked with her on a movie and had talked her into coming back with him.
Uh-huh.
They were getting Michael Biehn, and they were going to get Newt, and they were going to ignore 3, 4, everything after.
Right.
And they were going to give you that story of them three, finally, together,
right,
all those years later, waking up after Aliens, as like a direct sequel to Aliens, like Michael Biehn's alive, Newt's alive,
right.
Sigourney Weaver.
Aliens was the one where she fought to save the little girl, right?
Exactly. Okay, they killed both those two off
at the end.
In a cut scene before three, basically.
At the very beginning.
They just show a picture. It's like, deceased.
Yeah, so the opening credits, they kind of, their ships crashed.
Yeah, exactly. They were going to undo that. They were going to say, never happened. Okay. This is Alien 3. There's like, well, I'm making Alien Covenant and Prometheus, and it's like, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, that was totally, that flute scene between two Michael Fassbenders, totally worth it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just watch it. I can't get into it because it sounds suggestive even though I don't mean it to because of the way they wrote it. I'm like, did you not test that?
And
no one gave you feedback and said, hey, maybe I wouldn't have said this in that situation.
Yeah.
Or maybe this isn't a little goofy.
See, maybe I should have to watch. Maybe I should watch this.
I mean, that's a lot. And that and the aliens in broad daylight a lot. I'm like, what is going on in Covenant?
Okay. Yeah.
It's just like, it takes a lot of the mystery. I mean, sure, it still looks scary, but it's like, it's broad daylight. You can see the thing. It's black. You can see it coming a mile away.
Right, yeah. So it does kind of take the,
Now, when they get later on, it does follow them into the spaceship, and there it's jumping out of shadows. And that's where it's more effective, is when it's dark and it has corners it can pop out of
in. This whole thing goes, it goes the way they planned, and, the whole thing does, you might get what you want.
I was going to say, there's a long way around to saying we may get good alien movies.
Right. Well, I mean, but how long is it going to be before,
probably 5-10 years.
Well, I was going to say that remakes are just a regular occurrence in the movie industry.
Well, yeah, you wonder. Aliens so how would you get Alien? 20, 30 years ago.
Well, here's the thing. You could have your Alien, Aliens, and then Alien 3, 2020 or something like that. How long is it going to be before they make a remake of a sequel? Well, I guess that's my question. Yeah. I mean, you think about it. They've pretty much all but done it. here and there with the reboots. And
sure.
So why not? I mean, just make a remake of a sequel. I mean, that could very well, you know,
be... You could almost start it from scratch and, like you said, do Alien with...
Probably, but actress. At the same time, yeah, because you're not going to... I mean, Sigourney Weaver probably is not going to want to do it, nor no. John Bain or...
Or Michael Biehn. Yeah, Michael they. Biehn. I mean, that was like 5-10 years yeah. they were talking about the... It, that was probably the last shot at right. getting a good Alien right, 3.
Right. So,
and it's gone.
But
and
never,
Predator, I don't know, Shane Black from Lethal Weapon, Iron Man 3, yeah. The Nice Guys, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He's doing Predators this fall. Arnold yeah. Schwarzenegger actually turned it down. He said his part wasn't big enough. So. I mean... The trailer was not, I didn't walk away from that going, boy, I really want to see that. But,
right.
I mean, he tends to do good work. We'll see.
So we'll see.
I mean, my friends and I all watched and were going, I don't know, man, that didn't really land as solidly as you would want.
Right, right.
Especially after, I did like Robert Rodriguez's Predators.
Okay.
With, have you seen that
Wait, one? Was that the one with Topher Grace?
Yes, it was.
Yes, I did see that one.
I wish, I rather would have... Had him continue that if they could have.
That one wasn't bad. No, that one was actually really, really good. That's true.
Yeah,
because I really didn't.
Adrian Brody was. Yeah, the main, yeah. I did.
Yep.
You know, you had Lawrence Fishburne as a crazy scavenger.
Right. Right.
It was. I enjoyed that one a lot. That's cool. Walton Goggins.
Well, you know, we talking about movies and such. You know, it's like. Actually, I wanted to get because I don't know if we actually did touch base on this last week, but I did finally get to see Solo.
Oh, we don't have to get into that.
Okay, because I got to say, I loved it. I knew I would, but honestly, it was another one of those movies that was just fun. And I went into it already, like, waiting for these things that everyone had problems with. And honestly, you people have to be looking for it. Like, I mean, no, you really want to have
I don't see that. No, I don't see that.
You don't see it? Because that's what I've seen in it.
I saw it as deeply flawed along the lines of Justice League. You can see there's two competing movies in there.
Well, there's two competing competitors, or two competing directors. And
well, yeah, you can't just write that. I mean, there's the tones all over the place.
Kind of, not,
And I guess my only question, Joe, is what did it really add at the end of the day? What was the point?
Right. I think the only thing that it added was it just give you a backstory on Han, which, like most people say, that's not really relevant. Do we really need that? Nah, probably not, but it still was a fun little adventure.
I don't know what did it really add for him, though?
No.
I mean, it didn't really do much for him. It didn't do a whole lot of anything.
Yeah.
It just exists.
Yeah, yeah.
It just exists. There's no point to it.
I thought the
acting was atrocious.
Really?
Alden Ehrenreich was god awful.
No,
he makes Hayden Christian look like a stud.
Okay, no,
this guy's
I'm
awful.
Not going to say that.
He's god awful. Alden Ehrenreich
is bad at all.
I thought he was atrocious.
Oh, wow.
Right from the get go, whatever accent they had him trying to do was just terrible.
He was doing an accent?
Yeah, that was a put on voice. It's obviously, that's like a third grader trying to sound like Harrison Ford. It's terrible. It's brutal.
Well, I went with my father-in-law, who's a pretty big Star Wars fan, and he was the same way. He said, I had a great time.
I thought it
was awesome.
Just an atrocity.
It sucks because you're not going to get any more.
You may not get Star Wars period
after this one. Yeah,
no, not or, after the after episode. If episode 9
think
flops,
an Obi-Wan movie would do good.
I don't think you're going to get to it. I think if episode 9 does what I think it's going to do, it's going to go on ice for 10 years.
See, because here's the thing, and this is what we were discussing. You know, they introduced Darth Maul. They say they showed
which was dumb.
Darth Maul is
that
alive,
was dumb. That which, was obviously.
Well, if you follow the Clone Wars, Rebels,
I went with
clearly
a,
he was alive.
Well, I went with a friend that doesn't know. That's the thing. You were predicating that you know this.
Right.
And, you know, a friend that's never seen that says, didn't he get chopped in half and shoved down an elevator? You can't assume people have watched 40 hours
of
cartoons.
I think they were kind of
hoping. It's just like out of nowhere. It's like, when did he become Wolverine and grow a new ass, you know? Literally.
I think they were probably going for the whole surprise element.
No, they weren't going. That was panic, like, oh my God, we need a reason to justify this movie.
Oh, really?
I think that's what it was. It's pandering.
I was thinking they showed you in this that he's alive because he's part of the Crimson Dawn or whatever. He was the head of Crimson Dawn. And I think that I thought what they were going to do was they're going to lead that into the Obi-Wan movie where you're going to see those two battle it out one last time on Tatooine, and you're going to get to see the live-action version of that one scene I so eloquently told the first Cattle Cats, where I let a few F-bombs slip, but, you know. No, so for me, personally, overall, I mean, I gave it an 8 out of 10. I thought it was fun. I had a great time with it.
5, and I may be generous.
That surprises me of you. I'm surprised you are being generous. You are being very generous. I can tell by the look on your face right now. Folks, you can see the look on his face. You can see he is giving it a 5, and it is very hard for him to do.
I mean, it's the same feeling of Justice League, where it's all over the place. It's right. Like you're never going to see these things again.
Probably not. But I still thought it was pretty cool. I liked how they gave him his last name. I like that part.
I thought that was dumb, actually. I thought it was really dumb.
The whole thing about Lando
why do we need that explained? It's just I thought it was a dumb idea.
The part with Lando and the robot, okay.
L3 is one of the worst characters. I mean, it's a 5 based on L3 alone. One of the worst characters I've ever seen.
Really?
She's awful.
Really? See, I thought she was kind of funny.
No, she's terrible. Everyone thinks she's terrible, Joe. You're the only person No one likes L3. It's a debacle.
Well, the whole thing about how it was weird that he was in love with a robot. Okay, first and foremost, if you really watch it and pay attention, she makes a comment about how he's in love with her, but she doesn't feel it. That was mostly a joke. I think that was a joke.
No, the writer, Joe, the writer of the movie said that's what it is.
But to me, when she got destroyed.
The guy that wrote it said that's the way it is.
When she was destroyed, that's what I'm telling you. He was holding, and he was like,
I laughed at that, by the way.
I thought that'd be no different than Luke falling apart if R2 had been destroyed. You know what I mean?
No, I laughed at that hysterically. I thought it was the funniest thing.
I think just more people were looking more into it.
No, Joe, the writer came out and tweeted, this is what happened.
Yeah, someone got a hold of his account.
I mean, of these are the people running these things are just clueless, and you can see it.
See, I don't know, but for me, as just someone just watching the scene, I didn't really get that much of it. I mean, if that's what the guys tweeted, then, I mean, maybe he did. I don't care. But from what I was paying attention to, I mean, Lando was all being flirty and charming with everybody. So robots or men or women, he didn't care. He was flirting with Han half the damn time, too. So they made a comment about that in the movie. So to me, I don't think it was pretty much thrown into your face like everyone said it was.
I thought it was blatant. Really? L3, the whole L3 thing is blatant. Mm. It's like let's push a far leftist agenda.
Which again is Kathleen Kennedy's fault?
Okay. Yeah, and she may or may not be gone. She probably will be after, I mean, episode 9 has no heat. You've got the actors out there mixing it up with fans. You got the writers mixing it up with fans. Right. It's chaos over there.
They're really kind of, this one here, I did it.
They don't respect the customers. They don't respect the base. They're doubling and tripling down, which is something we'll talk about later. They're double and tripling down on bad ideas, and this is where it ends up. It's just, I mean, I don't really even want to give it that much more time. It's just not worth
it. I don't think it will. I mean, after this one, the way that it tanked, and I think this is the reason.
The losses are growing. I mean,
I still think
it's now a $100 million plus loser. See, it's gone up from 80.
I still hold to the fact that I think the reason why these movies are doing bad now is because people are just sick of them.
I don't think so, no.
You don't think?
No.
I think they've oversaturated.
Joe, we had three Marvel movies in like 6 months.
No. Well, yeah, that's true. Marvel movies. Like I said, the Marvel movies can't miss.
If someone had said after Infinity Wars, if you give us $30 right now, you can see part 2 in the theater next door, would you have taken it?
Oh, absolutely.
It's not oversaturation.
I probably would have done it with Star Wars too, though. So I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying.
You're talking to the wrong person.
If the product is good, people will come. If your product's trash, it doesn't matter how you space it out. You're dumping trash.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I did not get that whole negative vibe about the whole thing like everyone else did. We had a great time, and I was sitting front row. Unfortunately, we took my father-in-law to see it on Father's Day. And, of course, Father's Day. I thought Solo had been out for so long that it wouldn't be all that
theater
busy.
Was, I mean, you
not to mention the fact everyone's hating it, so why not? Well, we got stuck front row, and, I mean, it was even hard to watch under those.
I saw it in the heart of Columbus.
Right. Well, you were half drunk, though, too, weren't you?
No, theater. I wasn't.
Oh, okay. I said you were half drunk, weren't you?
There was like 10 people in this massive theater.
Oh, really?
It was terrible. There was no one there.
That's all right.
Now, I wasn't. There may have been a person in our party inebriated that caught on to L3 and was yelling some things at the screen, which was more amusing than the movie itself.
Right, When you're the only person in there, you can do that. Take it from someone who works.
Well, one of the three.
I wouldn't recommend doing that regularly.
One of the three was getting. One of the other seven people was getting a little. It's like, really, this movie's garbage. It's like, it's, this is more
entertaining. I'm not going to say it's garbage. We had a blast watching it. We thought it was.
It added. Again, it adds nothing.
No, nothing. I mean, and it kind of does it. I mean, if you're going to this movie trying to look for...
Well, that's the thing. The other thing. You're like, the Marvel movies, all of them add something.
Right.
The Black Panther adds the Kingdom of Wakanda.
True.
It adds this technological marvel into the universe. You know, you start talking about Thor Ragnarok, you've added Sakaar, this junk planet.
Agreed.
All these great pieces of lore you're adding. This didn't add, it added nothing.
No, it didn't, but you know what, though? I expected that already going into it, because
wasting your time, though, aren't you?
Not necessarily. I'm going in there for... I sit down for a movie, Cliff, because I want to have a good time, and I just want to, you know, get lost for 2.5 hours in some sci-fi world, you know, and just kind of get myself, and forget about everything
else. Why did Wakanda feel more magical than any world they visited in Solo?
Oh, I don't know. But I will say this, I really don't, you know, with the Avenger movies, they're all going to contribute something because they're always building up to something big. These movies here, you're supposed to be, if nothing else, building up to 4, 5, and 6, which they've done that. I mean, you got to see them getting a hold of that, the batteries, and giving it to those people who are kind of like responsible for the birth of the rebellion. I mean, Solo had its points where, yes, it did. It did point you in the direction of 4, 5, and 6, which is
not really. Not in any interesting ways.
I wasn't expecting to go sitting in this movie and discover something new about something I already.
That's why you don't do it.
Oh well, see, I.
That's why you don't do it. Why would you make this movie? You had a horrible actor, a horrible cast, a horrible idea, and you ended up with a horrible movie.
See there again.
It's a dumb idea.
We have to agree and disagree on this one, Cliffy. I like I said, I had fun with it. For me,
fun with it.
If I could sit through a movie and have a good time watching it, then for
it was
me,
minus
it's a
fun. So, and the way these guys have acted towards the fans, it's like it's just a dead property.
Yeah, go back to that. What have they said to the? Well, I mean, they're probably getting crappy with the fans because the fans are getting crappy with them. Is that kind of one of the?
No, they're kind of no.
Oh.
It's kind of they started.
They're the one
that's
saying with the Twitter thing, so you have to fill me in on that.
I mean, you have to go back. Either way, it's like they're just out there taking we're in charge. This is what we're doing.
And you don't like it, whether you like it or not, kind of deal. And
pretty
doing
much
it for the fans. Okay,
they basically say they're doing it for themselves, not the fans, and you follow if you want or not.
That's kind of stupid because the fans are the ones buying the tickets.
Well, that's what the fans have said back, and they say, "Well, we don't need you," and they say, "Okay,
then you know what? Then it doesn't surprise you why this one tanked so bad in the box office. Now I know that." See, I need to follow Twitter, apparently.
Apparently,
there's a whole other part of life that I'm just completely
I don't so much follow
of.
Twitter. It's like you just go on YouTube and you see this stuff pop up. People compile it on YouTube. They make it very...
That's true.
They show you that... And it's not one thing that's misconstrued. It's like they...
It's usually a string of things.
It's a string of flashing middle fingers to the fans.
Well, I followed a lot... Well, you're right, because you know what? I remember what you're talking... I know what you're talking about, because there was a time I remember right after episode 8 had come out, someone had taken all the Mark Hamill... interviews and like how his story was changing like every 3 months. Like it was like
no one
never really tell. And I think poor Mark Hamill himself was just kind of stuck in a position where like, well, damn, you know, what I mean? Yes, he had his own opinion, but he probably felt like he wasn't allowed to have his own opinion because by having his own opinion would let down his, you know, what.
Well, Disney's over his shoulder.
Disney's over his shoulder. So, you know, I felt bad for that poor guy because I think he was just being torn back and forth.
I think he's just happy to be done, to be honest. You'll never see him again, I don't think.
See, no, I thought he was supposed to be a 9.
No, he's not coming. He said he's not coming back.
Really? Like at all?
No. He said, you know, we had the original cast. We had a chance to do something. That's kind of gone, and I have no desire to continue.
Oh, that's sad. You know what? Then that might be it then. You know, you may be right.
The last thing I saw is they have Billy Dee Williams back.
Yes, I did see that, too, that they're having coming back. Well, they're going to have to get someone because everyone else pretty much bowed out.
Bowed out or they've done it to themselves in some cases.
We all knew Harrison Ford was not going to come back. He was not. I was surprised they got him for the first one. to 7. I'm surprised they got him to... But the only reason he agreed to do that was so he could do Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I think they should have rebooted, gone to a different... They should have done something else, the Old Republic, something completely
yeah,
different.
Yeah, that would have been kind of cool. I do.
It's like, if you were going to do it this way, I wouldn't have done it at all.
Yeah.
Because it just creates... If you know you only got him for one... It just creates more problems than it fixes.
Right. So
it's like you just...
Now that's a shame, too. See, that's I know one of the things we...
Like Mark Hamill said, one of the things is like we had the three cats. We never got a scene together.
That's true. That I will give you. You never got one... In 7, there should have been at least one scene with all three of the original cast members together.
And there wasn't.
And there wasn't. So, yeah, I'll definitely give you that. Well, you know, and this is the one thing here, too. We walked out of the theater discussing it because, you know, we had seen it here. We had seen it later and... You know, so all of the bad negative stuff was we'd already read about and everything like that. And I said, me and Leah and her dad, we walked out like, you know what? We don't know why I was dogging on this movie. It was a fun movie. We had a great time watching it. Yada yada yada. But I still think this is the main problem with something like Star Wars. Star Wars had become such a big, and I mean big entity. It grew larger than itself. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. No one's going to like anything you do to it now.
I don't think it's big at all. I think it's relatively small.
The original one was maybe 20 years ago,
right. Not now.
Well, that was just it, though. You see, everyone tried to cash in on that, and by that time it was either A, too late, or B, you have your fans are just not going to... No, they're not going to accept anything. All right, this movie was going to tank no matter what. People wanted to hate it before it even came out. It didn't matter what they did. Had they had, like, an aging Rey and zapped Harrison Ford back to a teenager, had him do this movie, that's probably the only way people would have liked it. And
well, yeah,
because
it's the original actor.
And that would have been a stretch. I think this movie, I just think some of these Star Wars movies are already doomed to fail before they even hit theaters because people, it's not good enough for anybody. No matter what you do, it's never good enough.
It's not good enough, Joe. Well, there's nothing there.
It doesn't matter. Like I said, I don't think it... Well, you're saying that it kind of pertains to its story. And
it does. Its characters suck. The story sucks. What's the conflict of Episode 9, Joe?
I don't think that that's just...
Where is the interest?
It doesn't matter what you do with any of these Star Wars movies. I just think people aren't either... A, they're either really going to love them, or B, they're just going to hate them before they even come out.
I just think you've done bad products. Yeah. For too long.
I mean, and who knows? Maybe that is it too.
I think if you think about it,
of an entity for itself that
it's
you
not ever, that big, not comparatively.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, not anymore.
Like its own empire.
Joe, look, the toys are sitting on shelves. Getting just destroyed.
Now that's because people are, like I said, I still
Marvel
has
surpassed
it.
It's, no, I don't think that at all. I think it's oversaturated with bad product.
Yeah.
In about every phase.
Could be.
Could be, it is.
Star Wars has been around since 77, and Avengers and stuff have just been out within, like, the, what, past 10 years? So, and that's...
From comic, since the 60s. But
I'm talking the movies.
How many bombs have they had in the Marvel Universe, though, where it's like the prequels were not solid?
No. Are you talking comics or movies? If you're going to talk comics, then we're going to get into that here real soon.
We'll get into
Marvel
that.
Marvel just can't help but keep dropping the ball on that one.
No, I'm talking about Star Wars, if you think about it. Really good movies were 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, the prequels, you've had bad product out there for a long time.
Well, the prequels had a lot of bad things about them, too.
What I'm saying. There's not been a really...
For me, I look at the prequels and I say, yeah, it gave me some really bad things like Jar Jar Binks and Hayden Christensen. But at the same time... You got Darth Maul, which, you know, was awesome. And you got to see Yoda fight with a lightsaber. I mean, to me, I balance out the good and the bad. And I overall,
I'm
at the
just
end
saying,
of the day,
it's, I mean, for the most part, though, these aren't, like, universally loved movies when you look at it.
That's a shame, because they used to be.
And it's... I think people knew off the bat those prequels were bad.
Really?
I knew off the bat when I saw them, these aren't good.
Really?
My first reaction was, these are not good.
Hmm.
I mean, the Phantom Menace, I was like, that's it? That sucked. Clone Wars, that sucked immediately.
You know what?
Revenge of the Sith, honestly, I
must just be a simple person. Because I must be easily amused. Because I found all of them fun. I do. And when Solo comes out, I will proudly have it in my Star Wars collection. So,
yeah,
I guess that's where we're going to agree. We're going to have to agree to disagree on that.
Yeah, I just...
And again, I'm going to make one important point. just to settle this, you're still talking to a guy who every Wednesday comes in and watches Wild Hogs while he puts up his comic books. So I am very easily amused. So
I just think these are.
But I love good movies and bad, apparently. So
I mean, I don't
take them that seriously.
Particularly
either.
Pointless.
Okay.
I mean, there's
enough.
Just nothing there.
I thought Donald Glover did a great job as Lando, though. I will say that.
I thought,
at one time, he even almost spoke like him. I mean, it was actually.
Weird thing is these guys are like trying so hard to sound
like the.
I'd rather them just be themselves because that was really weird.
Well, I always forgot that what's his name actually had an acting coach to help him finish the movie.
That guy looked totally confused, lost.
Really?
I don't think he knew what he was doing, where he was at.
All this stuff just totally escapes me. This is why I shouldn't be a movie critic, because apparently I'm too easily amused, and Han Solo is not even one of my favorite characters in the Star Wars universe. I know he's like everyone's favorite character, but
not real. That's
he was
the
never
other
mine.
Thing. That's why I was really confused.
I was always more into the Jedi.
The
so.
Appeal was Harrison Ford, not Han Solo.
True.
With him.
That could be.
That's
I,
what
that
I'm trying to. Say.
I might agree with you on that point.
That's what Harrison, I'm trying to say is
Solo
once you remove
Han Solo,
it was great or, because of the actor. When
yeah,
you
Harrison
remove
Ford.
The actor, what do you have?
That's
you
true.
Have a generic.
Well, I went into it trying to watch the same way Ewan McGregor did Alec Guinness, and I was I was very much.
Well, I mean, there wasn't that much material. I mean, you had like an hour of Alec.
Yeah, you really.
It's like that was more of a blank slate. You had a lot more creative license, whereas you had.
Yeah, it was a much
four movies of the Han Solo. You got to try to step in and fix.
Yeah, that is true. That's a very good point. I did not think of that. I don't know. Like I said, I completely forgot about all that. But you know what, though? It's kind of funny because a little known fact, there was someone in the 1989 Batman movie that needed an acting coach. Can you guess who that was?
Probably Michael Keaton.
No, it was not Michael Keaton, actually. If you can guess it.
Kim Basinger.
Pretty, yeah. Now,
well, that
for,
doesn't
for 10
me.
Extra points, can you guess who that acting coach was?
Jack Nicholson.
Nope.
I don't know.
Robin Williams.
No.
No joke.
Well,
he wanted so badly to be a part of I think I was reading this on Internet Movie Database. He wanted so badly to be part of the project of Batman that he agreed to be her acting coach. I don't remember if he did it for free or if he.
He was up for the Joker at one point.
Yeah, exactly.
Jack Nicholson
so,
had stepped in.
Right. So, and he actually was, yeah, a little known fact. So, man, I wouldn't have guessed that watching Batman. So. Like I said, Cliffy, I don't look at these movies with too critical of a mind, I guess. I sit for.
I wish
the
I could shut it off. I can't.
Yeah.
When I see bad things, it just, it breaks
my
brain.
For me, when
brain.
I sit down in the theater, I'm overpowered with whatever, and I mean, I get lost in it for 2.5 It's 2.5 hours of escaping everything, and I judge a movie by whether I came out having a good time watching it. And this one I did. So
I did not.
So
actually, that's the thing, is I can always usually think of something better to do than movies. So it's like, it actually is a. That's why I don't really watch movies. That's that may be part of the thing too, where it's like I can always think of something better to do.
Right.
So it's like when I sacrifice that time and I'm already irritated about doing it, and then I get something that's not
what you were hoping for. It just
makes it worse.
It just makes it
I'm already irritated, and then when you give me something where it's like, what was the point of this? I'm really irritated by the end of it.
Well, guys, speaking of irritation, let's talk about how Marvel is once again pretty much crapping on all of us in their comic books.
Well, there's two weddings going on, Joe. Only one of them's worth following.
I was
going
to say, there's one that no one gives a damn about.
Well, after tomorrow, whenever you get your books, it's...
Yeah, once they come in.
You have the Batman Catwoman wedding. Those are great. Buy those.
Yeah, I've heard those are great.
Prelude to the wedding. Those one shots have actually added things.
Right.
You had a great interaction. I read the one yesterday. Great interaction between Damian Wayne and Catwoman. That's There's awesome. A little conflict there because actually Damian kind of secretly hoped his mom and Bruce Wayne, Talia al Ghul, would get together. He's kind of coming to grips with that ain't happening, and then
he wants to fix mom and dad kind of thing,
instead
of the wicked stepmom.
Well, it's not that they kind of bond.
Oh, really?
It's like, yeah, I think one of the last lines is she's like, "We strays have to look out for each other" or something, and they kind of bump knuckle. It's kind of a good moment.
So let me ask you: do you think they're going to go through with it?
I don't know.
I'm 50-50. I think so either way. I don't think so either.
I don't think it's going to happen. But if it does, it'll be for
some. Certainly leading you up to that it is.
But it's.
And that leads me to more believe that it's not, because you know what I mean. They're going to try to make you think, all right, this is a done deal. And
I wonder if something bad happens with the Joker coming up, where I don't know. I wonder if they would do, but speculation, maybe she goes too far with the Joker and Batman realizes,
maybe. Oh, you think she's going to kill him?
Possibly.
Wow, that would be dark.
That's what I'm wondering.
The thing, and this is what Marvel is lacking. You see, it has. Look at us going over this. I mean, we are kind
that's
of.
That's
like,
what I'm wondering.
This is the writing team that DC has. They have their fans like guessing, whereas Marvel, it's like crap on toast, man.
The solicits have me wondering because they have the next issues.
Right.
You get into, there's a flashback coming after this with Batman and Nightwing. It's like, it's finally time for Batman and Nightwing to spend time. It's like, if he just got married, that'd be a weird time for him to be hanging out with Nightwing unless something's gone horribly wrong.
Unless something has gone extremely wrong,
And then he needs, his oldest sidekick there with him to get through it.
Right.
So that's what makes me wonder. Catwoman's getting her own series.
Yeah.
No,
which also kind of leads you to believe that they're probably going to part ways, because...
No, and then they got this three Jokers, which makes me think, I wonder if this version of the Joker is on the chopping block, since they got that other story coming.
True.
Where it's like, they could kill that one, and oh, here's two, three more, whatever. That's one of those weird... That's what leads me to speculate that maybe that's what would do it, if she killed Joker, or this version of Joker... And Batman would obviously not down with the killing, would be the big breaker.
That could be. But at the same time, it's not like he knows she's killed before, so
I don't think she was accused of it in the new. It was actually her friend Holly.
Oh, okay.
She was the one that did the mass murder that got like 32.
I just always figured Catwoman has had killed in the history.
Since they've wiped the continuity, I think it's a murky area where it's like
we're not necessarily sure that she 100% did it.
I think that could be flexible. Like maybe you get the answer in this 50.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I think we've gone a long way around. The main thing I was trying to, and this one's legitimately interesting in that there's all sorts of questions around it.
Right.
I think X-Men has scrambled. They're like, oh, we got to have a wedding. Yeah. Over at Marvel, we need a wedding. Right. So they've done this weird thing with Kitty Pryde and Colossus, where she proposed to him several months ago.
Right.
After she had told him she didn't want a relationship, she proposes to him like you're in the middle of the fight. He says yes. We get. A couple of weeks ago, we've had this lead up to the wedding. We get the X-Men Gold Wedding Special, which is one of the worst books I've read this year. Adds absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They brought Chris Claremont back to basically retell the origin. You could do that in like a paragraph in the front of the books.
Pretty much.
He spent 15 pages, 16 pages, just going through every meaningless detail in Kitty Pryde's life. Wanted to pull my teeth out, beat my head, talk about wasting time. And then we get, interstitials of, before this story that's running in X-Men Gold, this is what happened. And, the five-minute interview, here's Kitty's whatever bachelorette parties.
It's
just, I don't know, it was really weird and nothing really happened. I'm like, thanks, that was $5. I'm not getting
I was going to say, yeah. You seem like the type, you really don't like having your time wasted. But I think I know why, because you're like me and our time is very valuable, so.
Well, anyway, we're getting it tomorrow, but the X-Men, you finally get the, now bear in mind, I said Kitty proposed to Colossus.
Colossus, right.
We get to the wedding. They get there. Apparently, she decides to break it off.
Still waiting to find out. Okay.
I guess the last second, Rogue and Gambit step in and get married. So it's like, we faked you out. We got you. We spent 6 months building this up and leading it, and then just out of nowhere, surprise.
Yeah.
Well, that unsurprised me because I wondered why they had a Rogue and Gambit series come out. There was a little miniseries.
Well, I bought it. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Dreadful.
Now that I know what happened, they were just leading people up for like kind of like a hint.
But wouldn't you do that in the main series that people are reading? Why would you do that in some random? I mean, other than 90 nostalgia, which is why I bought it. Who else is buying that?
That's true.
You have to make that part. I mean, you have to do that, and it could have been done in half the time. Was the thing? It was way too long.
Yeah.
It's probably 6 issues. Probably could have been done in 3 in the main series. You're already double shipping gold.
Right.
How was this like? One, I mean, and the wedding stuff's been drug out. What you should have done, one issue of Kitty and then one issue of Gambit.
Right.
You know, a month. Run two stories concurrently and it dovetails in.
Yeah, that would have been
just
right.
It seems like, I don't even know that it's the fault of the writers. That just seems like an editorial issue. It's like no one took a look at that and said, this is a terrible layout that we have here. It's like, we're going to build off this one series that, I mean, at the end of Rogue Gambit, you had no clue that, you got a clue that they were at peace with each other.
Right.
You had no clue that there was any romantic ongoing feelings towards each other.
Okay.
And even in that wedding special, they mentioned, oh, yeah, we spent some time together. We're okay with you. Maybe one day, you know.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, oh, we're getting married.
That's exactly what
happens. It's just horrible. To me, it's like you could have laid this out in so many different better ways, and it's like the Batman, like we went through all the interesting setups and things.
Right.
There was nothing.
No, there was no lead up to it either.
From
what I understand. It just
poof.
Yeah, exactly. Here you go. Yeah, it's like you know what, we didn't Rogue Gambit? Okay. Yeah, do the comic fans even know who they are?
Really? After 20-some years. I mean, they're...
You know, I mean, when was the last... I can't tell you when the last time I had someone come through this door and ask about Gambit.
Yeah, he hasn't been... They haven't used him.
No.
And forever.
No,
he's not really...
All.
I mean, lately, Astonishing, he's
and vaguely not been for the X-Men movies. People in the 90s nostalgia, people probably
the
wouldn't
cartoon.
Know who Rogue was either.
The cartoons where people would know, and that's like a very specific audience.
Yes,
like a newer audience is not going to know.
Not going to know, no.
I mean, Rogue, they might know.
Rogue,
Gambit,
they might know because of the movies, and that's it. Yeah.
They're certainly not going to remember him from Wolverine Origins or whatever version of the character they tried to do there, but it's just like it's another one of these things where it's like it's a fake out. It's like, you know, we invested all this time, everything's pointing in this direction. Where it's like if the Batman thing doesn't go through, I think you've planted the seeds, because if you remember all the way back to, let's say my theory is correct, she does kill the Joker.
Right.
You had that story where he told, you know, at the very beginning when she said yes, where he almost killed the Riddler and Joker stopped him and he was so ashamed of it.
Right.
So she casually kills the Joker and is like, oh, well, you know, that would be, they
actually
set it up.
Because they did make that a very powerful plot point.
Well, that's what I mean.
So
there's outs, there's ways that it makes a lot of sense that you can go back through the material, you can look at it, and you can
How long do we got for the wedding? Is that next month?
July 4th.
July 4th
is issue 50.
I will say now, I did find out we will not be open July 4th.
Okay, that's good.
So the books are
out on
that
Thursday.
Right, probably the Thursday after. But you know, I say what we do. From now and then, let's take a poll. Those of you out listening, why don't you, how do we do it? Should we have them just like
send it to Facebook.
Do
put it below the post of the podcast.
Exactly, yeah. Let's see. We want to see how many of you think they're actually going to get married and how you think they're not going to get married. And if you have a yes or a no, give us a reason why. We'd actually like to, and then we could actually read some of these.
I'm curious. I don't think it's going to happen personally. I think everything's just kind of pointing that direction.
I don't think it is either. I really don't, because Batman's always been a loner, aside from the fact that he surrounds himself with, you know.
If it does, I won't be upset. But.
No. And if it does, I won't be upset, and I will be surprised. But I'm going to probably say no, just because of, you know, just Batman's always been that character that I just never see him married. But we want to hear what you guys have to say. Underneath the comment sections of this post, put yes or no and give us a reason why. And then we'll go ahead.
We won't do a Star Wars creator and call you that stupid. God, stop listening to us.
Yeah,
right
keep
now,
in mind. Keep in mind, I am very easily amused, so you don't have to worry about nothing like that from me. But go ahead and give us a yes or no, and
even
give
I
us a reason why.
Because
I'd love
the,
to actually, well,
the listeners are the reason we exist,
right,
Joe.
Exactly.
I can't go ripping the listeners. That's
precisely
what I'm trying to tell you.
We know how to do that right. But no, and actually it gives us a chance for you guys to voice your message. We can read you guys' your yes or no answers on the air. So that'll be actually really, really cool. So definitely leave us a comment on you. On what you guys will think, you know, if Batman will actually say yes, the whole thing will happen, or they'll actually say I do, or is Cliffy, I could see her killing the Joker, and I could see that, yeah, you know what, you're
that's the only
true.
That's
I,
the only I, out I see.
I can see that, yeah. So, that is very interesting. So, yeah, so why don't you definitely drop us on the comment sections of this post, let us know what you think, and we'll read them back as they come in. Now, getting back to Marvel,
it seems like they haven't learned anything over the last year. Is the thing is I've kind of given them a year here.
You did. You did.
Like,
I noticed your list grew with Marvel titles.
It's like let's see if they can fix it. They're changing guys. Let's see what they're going to do exactly.
And according to you, it's been a year, and now
it's the same. It's like they're just double and tripling down on these idea. They said no events after Secret Empire.
And
I mean,
what did we get?
We got, you take a look at the shelf, you've got the Infinity Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's multi-parts.
Well,
let's
just face that's cashing in on the movie. But.
It is, but just don't say no events then. That's
what
I'm saying. Just don't say it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say it, and there's not a problem.
Nope.
You have no conflict if you it's self-inflicted. Just don't say it.
Right,
and then you have this the Wolverine thing still galls me, where the August issue is called
Dead End. Right,
it's like you just
here's the one thing. Maybe it's not going to be a dead. Maybe it is actually going to leave something cool. It's going to surprise you.
It's going to lead to a September miniseries. I'm not going to buy.
Or I have to buy like 8 issues of
separate
titles to find out what the hell happened.
Well, that's kind of what they're doing. It's like that's where I think it's almost more a lack of editorial oversight.
Right.
It's like. And not only that, the problems. Jim Starlin is the creator of Thanos has stopped working with Marvel. I don't know if you caught that.
No.
He was writing original graphic novels featuring Thanos.
Right.
And this is how bad the editorial is at Marvel, or the editors are. Like the ongoing Thanos series, I guess he read it and he was like, "This is the same story. This is what you have me working on now."
Right.
Why are you running this in the monthly when I'm writing the same story
in a graphic novel?
And they couldn't answer. He's like, I quit. I'm not doing business.
Wow.
I'm not working for you. I don't want to be. I'm never writing for Marvel again.
Yeah.
So he's basically, I mean, they've got some weird stuff going on.
Well, you were telling me that it's very interesting because the fact that, like, they're saying they're bringing back a lot of these characters by.
But they're doing it begrudgingly.
Popular demand.
Well,
you did a little research, Cliffy, and let's look at that popular demand.
The popular demand thing was weird this week. Iceman, which I had told you was pretty bad. I gave it like 6-7 issues,
hoping it would get
better.
I can attest to that.
It did not, and I had high hopes for that.
Right.
You're thinking the one of the first openly gay superheroes.
Right.
There should be some interesting ground there, and it just there was never anything to it other than the surface stuff, which
in
and of itself is the fact that he's gay is not very interesting.
Right.
And I mean, I understood having the one issue with the parents. That's
right.
But when it's like every issue is that, it's like there's nothing else going
it's
on.
Like,
it's
yeah, just it's like just,
kind
I got
of, you know, it's like you got to move
forward a little
forward
bit here.
A
yeah,
bit.
Exactly.
It's like, and then you have the Unstoppable Wasp, which was another new character taking up the Wasp mantle. Both of these books were shown to be back in September by popular
demand. Right.
With the same creative teams that got them canceled.
Ugh.
So, I took a look at I went to Comicron, which is a great resource. They tell you every book that's been, you can look any month for like the last 15 years.
Okay.
You can look it up and they will tell you how many were sold, copies of a book were sold to retailers. Bear in mind that's retailers.
Right.
This doesn't mean people have bought them. I mean, that's how many went to stores.
Stores, yeah, right.
And even then, these numbers are not.
I can tell you right now. I can tell you what they have happens when they come to the store.
Well, I think they came to a lot. The first issue of Iceman started off pretty strong at 34,202.
Okay.
It declined very. By issue three, they were less than half that, down to 15,743 shipped to store.
Wow.
By the end of it, there was one big uptick, and that was because of you got caught up in this, as did a lot of stores.
Right.
The legacy lenticular covers. That month, it spiked back up to 34,200, and that's because you had to order so many to get
there. To actually get
that
the
doesn't mean people bought 34,000.
No, and that's exactly a lot of, and like you said, a lot of comic stores, such as myself, all fell to that.
Yeah.
So.
But the thing was, so even if you say, okay, they sold 34,000, people got a good look at it.
Right.
They wanted to try it out. They wanted the lenticular cover. They
right.
wanted to read it.
Which we're disappointed in, by the way, because the lenticulars didn't work.
They didn't work. They didn't work. That's another.
Right.
Just every single thing you can mess up. I swear to God. But let's just say 1 month later, next issue. Let's say all 34,000 people, you know, they got bought, they got read. Next month, two stores, 12,677. Like a third.
Wow.
So
yeah, that's huge.
People got a look at it and said, no, thank you.
Wow.
No, thank you. By the end of this, Joe, issue 11, this was it was the 170th best-selling title of the month it ended. 10,200 copies.
Wow.
Which
is,
actually...
that's under a third.
Under a third of where it started.
Where it started.
I made a list of things that outsold it.
Okay. I'm a roast. Face me.
Okay. It's you're talking about Iceman, a founding X-Men.
Okay, right.
Been in multiple movies.
Right, right.
New Superman. Just a brand new character DC created
right,
by
yep.
The
Chinese Superman. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye. Or an interstellar eye.
Okay.
Descender.
Wow, okay.
Actually, I don't even know what that is. Wicked,
I do. There's a couple people who have that on Pro. That's an Image title.
Wicked and Divine, that's an Image title. I've read like one issue. It's like gods on Earth, that sort of, but still.
Okay.
Wicked and Divine versus a brand new Image title where it's like people on an island fighting to the death and robots.
Okay, I remember that
one.
So that one I know.
Outcast, that's a Kirkman book, but it's an Image book still. Mm-hmm. Outcast. East of West, I have no clue what that
is. Yeah, I've not heard of that one.
Infidel, an Image series, like an Arabic horror story.
Okay.
That outsold it. Monstrous, I have no clue what that is.
Oh, I used to have someone that actually used to get those.
Okay.
Not a bad tale, as I understand. It's a pretty good, pretty good book.
I Hate Fairyland, which is Scotty Young's Foul Mouth.
Oh,
image.
Yeah.
It's like a rated R book, though, so you're already kind of limiting your
audience. You are, right.
The Silencer just created this year, or last year around that time.
Yeah, but you were telling me about that one. That's actually a pretty neat little
idea. Is. That's a great book. You should buy The Silencer. You should buy that. And Vampironica, an Archie book with Veronica as a vampire, outsold Iceman. That's the cherry on top of the sundae.
That is definitely the cherry on top.
So that's Iceman, backed by popular demand, Joe, with the same writer, sold 10,200 books. Let's go to The Unstoppable Wasp.
Uh-huh.
First issue, it only ran 8, and you'll see why. Mm-hmm. 37,415 stores.
Okay.
Midway through, we'll go to issue... By issue 4, it was down to 9,780.
Wow.
So you've lost it. By issue 8, the end.
That's crazy.
6,882.
Oh.
That's like a sixth. Maybe a little above a sixth.
Right, yeah.
But backed by popular demand
from a book.
And in less than 8 months, lost basically its entire audience and chased them off.
Okay, so let's hit this hard now. Why do you think... In your professional opinion, as a longtime comic fan, why do you think they would bring these characters back by a supposed popular demand when in actuality there's no need for them?
Well, I understand why they would.
Okay.
It's because, like I said, the Iceman is one of the first like openly gay superheroes to have a book. And I'm not opposed to him giving him a book.
Right.
It's like... Why would you put the same writer? Give it to someone else.
Get some new talent in there.
Get a new writer on it instead of, you know, do that concept.
Right.
By all means, do it. That character needs to exist.
Right.
It can be a positive influence for a lot of people.
Right.
It can be a powerful thing for
a
lot of people.
Okay.
Put a good team on it. Why would you bring a guy back that lost
all that
audience?
That's a very good point.
And the same with the Wasp. It's like, why would you? Why?
Yeah. Now, what was Wasp's thing? Was there anything about her story that
I'm
was
not
in any
familiar
way unique?
With it. It's. Okay. I think it's a new character. She's like maybe a teenage Latina. It's okay. Again, we do need more Latina superhero, female sure. superheroes. Yeah, all for it. Why would you put the same writer on
if they failed the first time? Yeah,
that's true. My thing. It's like, and it's like you have to do more also. Is you have to have a good story. You can't just say, "Well, here's a Latina woman."
You need to have a good
story,
and you need to have good art. And I will say this: that's
the Iceman art does look. They have a new artist, I think, the Iceman the art wasn't the problem. It's just there was nothing to do,
right?
Because Iceman, you think of all the ice slides. There's cool visuals left and right you can do with that.
But like we've proven before, unless you are Jim Lee doing Batman and Robin All-Stars, not many artists can actually single-handedly save
Not anymore. No. I mean, in the 90s, you could have the worst book ever.
Because you had Rob Liefeld. Guys, they made it.
Liefeld proves that point. You can have the worst written book ever. Right. As long as he was drawing it, you're okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
You still did the sales. I don't know. Yeah. So. You're exactly right there.
But, you know, and it just kind of really makes me wonder because, you know, and as we discussed earlier, I can't help but wonder if sometimes, because you're right, it's like Marvel wants to double down on things that have failed and are continuing to fail. And
it's like the Avengers kind of, it's like they're giving you the characters back finally, but they make it known. If you read, I've been reading the books, they make it known they are very unhappy about having to do it.
Yeah.
It's like I read Thor, and it's just like, how do I live up to Jane Foster? It's like, how do you look? You were a hero 50 years before Jane Foster.
Right.
At least in continuity time.
Even these bad decisions that they had made, they're still clinging
to it.
They can't
let it go.
They're clinging
to
their life form with them. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like they got to tell the reader, this was awesome, and because of you, I can't do it.
I can't
do it.
Anymore. It's like, yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. It's exactly what it seems like they're doing. They're kind of like, they're trying to say, like, all right, we're going to give you guys what you want, but just so you know, we're not happy.
Exactly. That's where I'm kind of like, I'm like, what?
So, and you know, I would like to believe that maybe they would have it somewhere along the ways that they were doing this for a reason. Like, it was going to build up to some really great thing. But it's been how many years, and we still get it's Smallville all over again. It starts out great, and it's like, dude, just end it already because
it puts them right back to where they were a year ago. These same teams,
right?
It's like, by all means, do the Iceman book, but someone
a different writer,
get a top tier writer on it. Where is? You can't get Donny Cates off Venom or something.
Something,
He can't take on another book. I mean, give it to someone I know. Honestly.
Right, yeah. Getting some big names in there, too, would probably certainly help.
Well, that's what I mean. If you really want to make a commitment to that, instead of just, I think what this is they got ripped in the press for saying, well, there goes all the minority superheroes, you're canceling them.
Could be.
So it's like, well, instead of just saying, well, okay, here's this back, and you can just, we're not going to sell anything, but it'll get people off our back.
Right.
Like, why not make them good?
Yeah, no kidding.
Why not make them good?
Why not take a look at it, put them under the microscope, see what didn't work and what will work, and focus
on
those. Yeah,
exactly. To me, it just seems like, well, you're right, let's get those characters back.
Right.
But again, I think you need a good story. You need.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what that's what comic books are. They're books. They're story. They need something that's going to captivate their readers. You know, you can only do – artwork can only do so much.
Yeah, and that's where I'm frustrated with
– It's not just you. As a matter of fact, we were also discussing before, you know, you don't really think about it, but when a big, big, big flagship-type company like Marvel –
Oh, IDW said market leaders are hurting the sales because
no one's coming into the stores anymore because people are sped up with Marvel stories. They know Marvel stories suck, so they're not going to come in, which means they're not going to buy other people's
stories. A healthy Marvel
helps
everybody.
Right now, DC is probably the only company that's holding up this entire industry.
I think their sales numbers a little more legit because I guess...
Do you ever look in to see what what Batman or Detective Comics does on number wise?
Batman gets close to 100,000 shipped monthly.
A month, All right, now so compare that to 30,000. Yeah. Well, just to compare that just to 30,000 off the get.
That's like an issue one,
right? Though. Okay, now it would also be interesting. Let's take a look at You know what? I'd love to see exactly what the numbers are.
Well, go to Comic-Con. Everyone go to it. Check that site out.
See what Marvel was actually doing monthly back in, like, say, 91 and 92.
Oh, my God.
They were probably outblowing everybody away.
Six digits.
Yeah.
Six digits.
Yeah.
We've gone from six digits to now we're bringing back a book with 10,000.
Right.
You know.
These guys got to be scrambling, or they're doing it on purpose. I'm telling you, I still think...
I mean, not like six digits, like Batman hits 100,000.
Right,
barely.
No.
I'm talking 500,000 and above.
Right. Well, because, like, back in the 90s, keep in mind, they were
you could,
like,
get them everywhere.
They were producing millions of copies.
They were, but they were selling
though, yeah. So,
like, everyone owns that X-Men
number one. I do with Jim Lee's autograph, yep.
Exactly. It's not like it's sitting in bins. I mean, some are sitting in bins because they've been sold and whatever.
I think I actually got someone brought in some old books the other day.
But this is like...
And I had a couple of issues.
That was 10,000, you know, sold to the store. I mean, into customers' hands, probably a lot less.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you. I can attest to that. Especially Iceman. It's like, Iceman really didn't do anything when we had it. I still have a few of the issues. If you guys want to check out some of the old backstories on that, I think we still have a few of them here in our
don't need to read the whole, because every issue is about the same.
Is it?
That was my thing with it, is like we never move past the conflict with his parents
right.
and them dealing with that he's now not only a mutant but gay.
Right.
I understood having to do the first, because that is a big thing.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
And it's like they would...
But at some point, have to move forward.
Well, they would resolve it, and we'd be right back to it the next issue,
really?
Where it's like, well, they were past it, now they're not.
Okay.
And it's like, well...
Well, don't you, in the midst of all this, you still got to be a superhero, too, right? I mean,
there'd be like
you got to go do your thing.
He put out, like, a fire here and there.
Oh,
and there,
really? So. Oh, okay.
Then there was the issue where, like, and I've seen videos where he was hanging out with the champions. Bear in mind, the Black Widow's just been executed by Steve-el.
Okay.
Steve-el has broken her neck, and he's, like, they're all hanging out, and Iceman's first line is, I can't believe they did this. They made our base into a gym in California. It's like they're standing in front of their, like, someone has just died and he's bitching that their old base has been turned into a Gold's Gym. It's just like really.
It's all around bad writing, yeah.
Where it's just, it makes you scratch your head, and it's just like, I watched someone read it online,
you know,
and they ripped it.
Is,
they, like, crumbled it up. They got so mad, they just, like,
Well, this is what I was discussing with you earlier. Sometimes, I swear, it seems like they're doing this on purpose. They have to be. Because why would you do exactly what you just said? Why would you take titles that are documentingly, or if it's even a word, that have been documented to do and are doing horribly to the point where they're gone? You're going to bring them back with the same people doing them, same writers, whatever, after it's been proven
that it was the 265th best-selling book in its last month.
Right. Why would
That's
you do that on purpose unless... You're meaning to do it. And,
well,
and I'm wondering, I can't help but wonder if it's one of those things where the movies are doing so well, they need something else that's not. It's almost, I want to say like a tax write-off, but something.
I don't know.
That we don't know. Something in the background.
You're right. Something's up.
Something
I don't
is not.
Think
right. Why would you do that? Is just bad business.
I don't know that that's it. There's something up. I don't know what it is.
It's got to be something.
It seems like they've...
But I swear, it just seems like there's
something's
something in the
up,
background.
Joe.
We're not seeing
it.
I mean?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know what
exactly.
it is. I can't put my finger. All I know is this doesn't make sense. We're looking at the numbers. You're looking at the numbers.
I'm looking at it from a store owner's point of view.
Well, that's the thing. It hurts.
It hurts all of us. Yeah, absolutely. This is going back to that whole lenticular fiasco from last year.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, it's like the stores are the ones sitting
Marvel,
on product.
Well, that's why Marvel had to cancel their panel at Comic-Con because all the store owners lashed out at them.
Yeah.
And they're still going to continue to do it.
They're still doing
a lot of the same.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, Cliffy. There's something amiss.
That, to me, is the most... That's the part where I'm probably looking at dropping all, just because it's like I wanted them to fit. I wanted to, because I grew up reading Marvel more than DC.
Me
was,
too, Marvel,
you know.
Dude. I'll tell you right now, Cap Wolf. That's all I'm gonna say.
Spider,
Cap Wolf is what got me into comics.
You know, Spider-Man, Wolverine. These were DC was like a blip. Other than Batman, I could give to
the first thing that DC ever did that caught my eye was Nightfall. Yeah. Right after Bruce Wayne had broken his back.
I read before that. I read a lot before.
Then you got your, like, 90s style Batman, Warblade Batman that they had for a minute.
Night Quest
or whatever.
John Paul Valley as Bat.
When that first came out as kids, we thought that was so awesome.
The machine guns on their wrists.
Yeah, and now you look at it like, what were we thinking? It just goes to show you, I was easily amused even back then.
Well, I can't say. So was I. I would actually love to get that one graded and
for the heck of. Oh yeah, absolutely.
I don't even care about the value. It's just right. Like I want to point to that
just
and say,
so
look,
you can say, I had it.
Yeah, just so you can look back and say,
I remember buying it back in this very mall. This is back before we were here. There was a guy that used to have a comic kiosk.
Yeah, it's where I got it.
Right in the center.
Yeah, that's where I got it.
It was just a little kiosk in the center of the mall there, and he had like a giant rack behind him. We had all the new titles, and he had a couple of glass cases surrounding him. So he had a few things here and there, but you could always get your comics from him, and I do it every Saturday morning. And that's where I got that. And
that's so did I, actually. Same exact spot,
yep.
Pretty much.
Right over here. It was right across from Revco, where Revco used to be, and Deb's shop. It was in between the two of them. So back when, but now, you know, you really do got to think. I mean, it's like they're purposely doing this to shoot themselves in the foot, and you've got, and the question has to be asked.
I don't know if they think they're doing, I don't know if they think
they know.
I don't know if they think they're doing good.
If we can look at these numbers, just being, you know, you being one in the media industry, me being in the comic book industry.
The numbers make no sense
to either one of us.
I don't know who it's making sense
be. There's
to
something,
someone.
Something we don't know, and maybe that's the mystery, folks. I mean, maybe one day we'll unravel this mystery, and maybe we'll figure this all out. But in the meantime, it looks like
in the meantime, I think it's, I love the DC books I'm probably going to focus more on those right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you can't just, and Wolverine's, we talked about, you can't just have Wolverine back now, he's got to have heated claw.
Right,
you know, it's like,
precisely.
Just so. Bring him
back. Yeah. It's okay.
Jesus,
we'll make it through.
Christ,
we'll be okay.
Just want Wolverine. Like, why do you got to break stuff and touch that?
Right.
Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. Just bring him back and leave him alone.
Right.
Actually, just bring him back and then don't write him because you'll probably mess it up.
Right, right.
Just say, he retired and went to the mountains of Canada, the end. And I'd be like, that was the best Marvel book this year, probably.
That's good. That's good stuff. Well,
I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to shake hands, Joe.
I do.
Because... There's probably people listening. It's like, it sounds like you two were ready to kill. Not really.
Not really. We do this all the time, trust me.
We argue all the time.
Well, this is the reason why we have such a successful show. People love to actually hear us kind of... you know what? Cliff and I can honestly tell you this. As long as I've known this gentleman, we have been able to get into... I mean, it may seem like heated debates.
It really was. I wasn't
not.
That upset.
No. I think we are just so strong about making our points that that's what it is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, poor Jill. Back when Jill used to sit with us. We'd scare her. Yeah. And it's not, you know, and we can tell you, folks, ladies and gentlemen, there is no...
I've never felt any animosity ever towards Jill.
There's never any anger. This is all in good fun. And eventually, and I think that's what makes this show a lot of fun. And we want to thank you guys for being with us today. Again, after the comment section of this podcast, leave us your quotes. We still want to know.
I don't even remember what the question was.
We want to know what you think about the wedding.
Yeah.
Batman, Catwoman.
Is it happening?
Are they going to?
Why is it not?
Is Cliff right?
Joe right? I don't even know what you said.
I don't have an opinion, actually. I think I'm kind of more on your level. I think that's what's going to happen. At least your theory about her killing the Joker and that ending it, I could see that being a very good possibility. But we want to hear what you guys have to think. In the comment section, leave us a yes, no, and why, and we'll read these up on the next episode. So
I will admit that I hit Jor-El on the head last year.
Yeah.
So it's like I do have a track record of throwing stuff out.
Yeah. That's true.
Did you read the? You were right on Doomsday Clock.
Yep.
The new Rorschach.
Yep.
You were. Did you read that?
Not yet.
Well, you were very close, if not directly on
what
one
I said?
Thing you said.
Okay,
so you
cool.
need to read that.
I was right.
So we are right. We're right as often as we're wrong.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, that actually makes sense. At least I can follow that line of
thinking. See, yeah, Marvel, that's you. How you be vague. Marvel, this is how you say we're vague. It's like, right. You know, you do it that way. Leave yourself an out. Don't say no more events and then blow me up.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
Ah, so. Infinity War. Countdown. It's not even the Infinity War yet. It's the countdown.
Right.
Here's the 17 books counting down to the event that wasn't supposed to exist, but now it does.
Right,
and then the dead ends. And you know what else is at a dead end, this cast? I'm going to stop or I'm going to implode. Joe's looking at me with concern because I'm pulling my hair out. And I just...
Again, thank you guys for coming. It was exactly. We had a blast, as we always do. We'll see you guys next week.